What is the primary purpose of the agency and who does it serve?
Safe Harbor started as a organization for court-ordered supervised parenting time. So it was started by a gentleman who was having some difficulty through the court system of being able to see his daughter. And this was like in 2004. So things were very different then. We have moved forward. And I joined in about 6 years ago with them as the site director. So at that time, we were only doing the court-ordered supervised parenting time, and it is an all-volunteer agency.
I think people might like to hear a little bit more about why there is a need for court-ordered supervised parenting time. I know you mentioned something about it's an opportunity to prevent family violence. Could you get into that a little bit?
Sure. Most of the families that are ordered to come to us have either, there may be a substance abuse issue with one of the parents. There may be a mental illness. A lot of our families have domestic violence issues. And so this provides a venue for the children to still be in contact with both parents and in a safe environment. So we have a very home-like setting, and the children feel very safe and comfortable with us.
So it's only court-ordered. If it was, say, a messy divorce, but there is no court involved, they wouldn't be taken.
We are still able to do that. We have really expanded. Since in December of 2017, I was able to find a beautiful spot on Main Street to rent for a facility. It's at 171 Main Street. And through that, we have a much larger center. So we are able to take people who are not court-ordered. We just have an agreement between both parents, and we set up a time where they can drop off the children. We also do a safe drop-off for custody exchange. Very often, parents who are still in a rough time together, it makes it easier if the children have a nice place to go before they're changed from the mother to the father to the mother. So we do that as well. It used to be that the police stations were the place of drop-off, and I don't think any child feels very comfortable doing that, nor do the the parents. So we provide that as well.
This is certainly a more family
a
setting, as you said.
Right.
Now, I believe you said you have an agreement. Is it something about they can only stay for 5 minutes when they're dropping off or that kind of a thing?
No.
So there's no interaction?
The parents that I have right now who are doing the drop-off are able to communicate with one another, just not well on their own. So I'm kind of that intermediary. So they do stay. But generally, the one family that I have right now, the dad comes a little beforehand, gets comfortable, then the mom brings the daughter, and dad and the daughter stay for a good 15, 20 minutes, and they play a little bit. It's kind of like changing hats, going from one parent to the other, and it makes it a lot nicer, smoother transaction for the child, and both parents feel more comfortable.
Right. Okay. Describe a little bit your center. You said a home. I was looking at some pictures. You have maybe even a little art center for the kids.
Yeah, we do. We are so fortunate that I found this spot, especially that, again, it's downtown Main Street, so we have our own parking. Everything is just perfect about it, other than it is on a second floor, but we're all okay to walk it. When you first enter, there is a kitchenette on the right-hand side, so families can even bring food, cook dinner. There's a refrigerator. We have a convection oven, so you can cook. Some of our visits are for 2 to 3 hours, so it is a lot of time for a parent to stay and to keep a child occupied. We do not use TVs or video games. We try to have the family really engaged together. And then we have a main room, which is like a large den kind of thing in a home. One of our children yesterday said, "Mom, you got to come in there and sit on the couch. It's even more comfortable than our couch at home." So it's really very family oriented. And that room has a very large table for like a dining room table. Then there's a playroom for younger children, toddlers, with an enormous amount of games. Then another room, which is for a little bit for the older kids or a quieter room with a keyboard in there to play and lots of board games and a nice bathroom that's, a one-person bathroom. So it makes it very, again, very, very homey.
Okay. And what age children do you take?
All. We have had, usually, of course, it does stop by the time they reach majority, so at 18. We have presently from 16 down to a six-month-old baby right now. So, and it varies. I have one family that's coming. Actually, they come as far as, I have one family that the dad comes from Maryland. I have another family that is coming from Livingston. Both parents live in Livingston, and they are coming here. I have a family that comes 3 days a week, others that may come once every 2 weeks. So it all does vary. So it's a matter of scheduling everybody accordingly.
Okay. And for people who are listening outside of the area, let's talk about these distances. You are reaching into several counties outside of Hunterdon, our county.
Correct.
So from Livingston, you're talking about what? At least half an hour.
Yeah, so I've had, like I said, I have the one parent who comes from Maryland. Part of the family does, the other part of the family does live in Old Bridge, but it's still not Hunterdon County. So they hear of us through the website or word of mouth if it's not court ordered. And even the courts now all over seem to have heard of us because I am listed in the Supervised Visitation Network directory, which does cost to be in there. But it also keeps me up to date on all the latest information regarding supervised visits throughout the country.
So let's talk a little bit about that. You mentioned before that sometimes it's the police station. How many of these supervised visitation centers are there throughout the county? Do you have any
idea? In this area, very, very few. And if they are, it is through DCP&P, if it's ordered through the division. And Catholic Charities was doing some of them. But again, just because of the police involvement and just the way that the centers are, they're not able to have just all the things that we have there. So people, like I said, I've gotten people from all over because there is nothing that the family from Livingston would be in Essex County. It would be at the courthouse. And it's very intimidating for not only the children, but the parents as well.
Right. Now, do you think, how many do you think there might be in New Jersey?
Very hard to say, because I'm sure a lot of court systems really do not take advantage of this. Very often parents are just refused to be able to see their children. Hunterdon County Court has been awesome. Even if there's just a if there is a temporary restraining order, the judge may order during that interim for the child to be able to see that parent for, even if it's just for a week, and then they'll go back to court and get an order to see if they can remain. So the courts here are very, very concerned about keeping families together as much as possible, especially the children, to be able to see both parents in a safe environment.
Do you know about many of these centers in other states in the country, the Midwest, California?
I blog with some people who are also part of this, so we all get together. And I have not, when I blog, I'm the only one out here on the East Coast. It's very interesting. Everybody is, as you said, California. There's some from, I don't think anybody in New York. Like I said, nobody on the East Coast. So it's mainly California, Oregon area, but nothing out here.
And how often would you say these children get to see their parents? Is it usually weekly, once a week?
Yeah, usually is weekly. And I do have to follow the court order. So if the judge says only once every 2 weeks, we abide by what the judge is asking for. And the parents have been, I think they're very pleased to be able to see their child and children, especially in the setting that we have. So they're very we work very well together. So, but some, like I said, one family I have for three times a week, so they get about 8 hours. Another one comes for 3 hours on one day with a baby. So it does vary.
Okay. And how important is it for these people? It's obviously an emotional situation for everyone. How important is it to have a safe, non-judgmental zone where the children can feel free to express their emotions?
It is so vitally important. I wish I could put it all into words, but we do have it where the non-custodial parent arrives first. So they get situated just to keep the two adults separate. Then the custodial parent comes with the child. But before this even takes place, I meet with everybody separately. I meet with the non-custodial parent, hopefully first, to see why they think they are coming, what they think they will get out of it, to feel comfortable with me, to see the center. And then again, I meet with the custodial parent with the child or children, so the children get to feel comfortable and pick out maybe a space that they feel comfortable sitting or some games that they want to play with or toys, so they just know what they're coming to. We've watched families, I have been witness to families healing tremendously for having this opportunity.
So when you say you're meeting with a custodial parent, so the non-custodial parent is still there waiting somewhere else in another room for
Correct. And we're very fortunate because the setup at the center, there is like a lobby area with a key coding lock on it. So it's very good that I don't have to worry about the two getting together or anything. So it's really very secure. It really is.
That's amazing.
And our Flemington police know what I do. So if, God forbid, there was an issue, they would be there in a heartbeat. And fortunately, we haven't had that. So
that's
just good.
Really, really wonderful. Tell us what might happen. What could a family expect to happen during their, what's the shortest visit, half hour?
We have had, only because this was, I only had one half hour visit, and that's the dad and the child. This case was a father who was coming to see their daughter, had not seen each other in 5 years. It used to be that we didn't do those kind of cases that would go to reunification, but the courts felt that the age of this child and how things were going, that safe harbor could meet the needs of this family, knowing that I would say if it didn't seem appropriate. So far, we've had one visit. We'll be having another one today. It was tough at first. It was, you know, 5 years in a child's life when you're 11 years old. That's a long time. So it was a little awkward, but I really believe that we are going to get this family to, at least the daughter and the father, to mm-hmm. to bond again.
So I guess 1 hour is maybe an average visit?
The average would be 1 to 2 hours, yes.
1 to 2.
Yeah.
So what generally happens during that 1 to 2 hours?
Usually it's so funny. The kids, it takes them no time to get comfortable. They come in, they run in, greet the parent that's there, hug and kiss for a few minutes, and off they go to the playroom. They know we have awesome, a lot of imaginary play kinds of activities, the kitchen sets, the dollhouses, which the children really love to play with. And so they sit at a little table. They'll usually have a snack together, and then they'll play or they'll color or do some kind of craft activity together. Most of the families like to spend a little time just sitting and, you know, sitting on the couch, having their arms around each other and cuddling for a little bit. And that's what it is, nice to have such a family-like place to have.
So most of the time while one of the parents is there, are the children interacting with the parents, or would they be like playing on their own, the parents kind of watching?
I have to say, especially in this new location, there is so much interaction that even I'm so surprised. I have a dad who comes, he was coming for twice a week, and he has a 12-year-old and an 8-year-old. And the first time, the 12-year-old, of course, was on her phone. By the second visit, though, already, dad brought dinner, and they sat and they played a board game. And the dad looked at me and he said, I don't know the last time we ever sat and played a board game, if ever. So it does really have a lot more things that you don't normally do as a family, because you're kind of there together for this 2 hours and you don't have the TV, you don't have the interruptions of doing other things. So it's really quite wonderful to watch it.
Do you have any rules about cell phones? Are they allowed?
We don't allow to call others. Sometimes there might be grandparents who would love to talk to the children. We don't allow it. There are not the grandparent rights in New Jersey, and we just have it. The court does order who may be part of the visit, so we do not allow it. We weren't allowing picture taking either, and that it is all up to both parents and certain orders that we would not allow picture taking. But if we do allow the pictures, they are not allowed to be put on any kind of social media site.
Okay, I understand. Because there's a lot of confidentiality
exactly.
involved just in general.
Right.
We have just a minute or two before our first break, so just talk a little bit more about the healing that you see. Mm-hmm. What causes that healing?
I think it is to be away from the chaos, that it is a place. There's something about safe harbor, and I see it all the time, especially when children are there. It's just there. It exudes some kind of safe feeling, and I think the children feel safe, and so does the parent, because they know they're not being judged. And even though we're right there, it's not like we're critiquing them in any way. So I think it is just that feeling of safety and away from all the everyday chaos that's going on in their lives.
Great. Okay. Let me go for a commercial break.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investors, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington, or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Good afternoon. This is Tracy Ivey again, back with Mental Health Matters. And Carol DeVore, the Director of Safe Harbor Access Centers in Flemington. We were talking about, before the break, the children who come to have supervised visitation with their parents. Carol, do you have facilitated play? What exactly is that?
Yes. After, again, renting this space, and just to make it very clear, Safe Harbor is an all-volunteer agency, including myself. Nobody receives any financial compensation. And I saw after renting the space, and most of the visits take place after school, evening hours, or weekends, but we have this beautiful space. We should probably put it to more use. And I realized that there were children out there who are still in the middle of these contentious divorces, but maybe did not need supervised visit. So I opened it up to what we call facilitated play. So it's for really children who've experienced any kind of trauma, which may be through a divorce, maybe some things that have happened to them in their life, loss of a parent. And it started out very small with just some of our Safe Harbor family children that were coming. And it grew into having more children. And then I got close to some of the teenagers in the community. And I opened it up to asking if some of the teens would like to volunteer and help out as well. And so some of these kids have come over. I shouldn't call them kids. The youth from Hunterdon Central and even the middle school come over. And they actually play with the children. And sometimes we'll have activities planned. We planted some flowers outside. We made chimes last week. Otherwise, it's just kind of free play. But the teens really take over, and the parents remain there and sit with me, and we just talk and really just get a handle on the day and what's been going on in everybody's life. And it's beautiful to watch, especially with the teens and these children, how they gravitate to one another.
So you're really bringing together all the different age groups and the generations.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Let me sidetrack for a second here. What are there any costs to anyone who comes to your center?
Good
any
question.
Charges?
The only thing that people are charged for is the court-ordered supervised parenting time. I do have to write reports And again, it's all volunteer work, which mm-hmm. is, this is the toughest part of it, writing reports to the court every week on these families. So the only thing we do charge for is the supervised visitation time. And the state, we are licensed through the state, and they really like what we're doing and affirm what we're doing. So they have given some grant money to the court. So if a family cannot pay for the visitation, the judges will decide who will be able to use some of the grant money to pay for the visits. And Hunterdon County, again, has been awesome about really vetting the families and deciding who should have that, mm-hmm. you know, the grant okay. money.
Do you have any other sources of funding, any private donations?
Amazingly, no. I don't know how we're doing it, but we are making our rent payments and our insurance payments. Again, this community has been very, very generous. I did grow up out here, know a lot of people, worked in a lot of different agencies, so people have been very generous with their support. But we certainly always can use more, mm-hmm. Again, that the income is only coming through to pay our bills through the visitation.
And you don't really have any fundraisers during the year then?
No, we have not so
yet.
Far.
Okay. Then. So we were going to talk a little bit. You at one point had a loss and bereavement group for youth. Is that right?
Yes. That's where a lot of this, the trauma, I consider our center trauma sensitive, which means that we really look at everybody who walks in, have had something that has occurred to them, you know, that happened to them during their life. And we treat everybody with dignity and respect and concern. So we had a terrible tragedy in our high school in December, and some parents had reached out to me knowing who I was and what we had there and asked would I consider doing a loss and bereavement program for teens. And I did find an art therapist who was offered to do it with me. She did need to be paid. And we were going to do it, and only to find out that the teens really did not want to have that. They weren't ready for that kind of program, those who especially had just faced this loss. But they did want to come to Safe Harbor and just be together. So we decided, not going to call it loss and bereavement, although it is there for others who may need to come or wish to take. We usually do it individually. And the students started coming. The first night, we just had one of our volunteers donated homemade food, lasagna, and all good comfort food. And the teens were able to just come and be together and talk if they chose to or not talk if they chose not to.
And what about the teens now? Are they coming on a somewhat regular basis after school?
What has been amazing, again, is this youth of this community. I cannot tell you anybody enough of how amazing these young people are. They began coming for a program called Let Lyrics Speak, which allowed your music to let your feelings out. And we did that for about 3 or 4 weeks, and it just evolved into planning an event, which I know we're going to talk about later, Hold On to the Light. But more than that, it had every week more and more teens were coming. We're doing that every Monday. Now they've been coming Monday nights, Wednesday nights, Friday nights, sometimes on the weekend. They have my cell phone number. They call me if they say, hey, you can be around, Carol. We just would like to come by and sing or hang out. So I am always open to that. It's become just a really nice family gathering for the kids, family space.
You mentioned a program. It was called Let Something Speaking. What was that?
Yeah, so it was Let Lyrics Speak, which was through an organization called the You Rock Foundation, who and they're a nonprofit organization who mainly deals with people who are suicidal, had suicidal ideations, and through rock stars, very famous rock stars. And I happened to meet them at a concert in New Hope one night, and they decided that we connected, and so they came out to Hunterdon to start this program with me. And it was really a good way to open the door for the teens to start coming and letting the songs that they love be able to speak for them. And that's where it kind of evolved into now just more and more students coming to play their music, sing, do their artwork, whatever they
do. You have guitars and pianos there? Or they
we
bring
have,
things?
Some of them bring their own. We do have a guitar, and we have a keyboard, and then we've got these amazing kids who sing like without, they don't need anything, or they bring their cell phones with the tracks that they all seem to be able to sing to.
Wow. Okay. When you were a guidance counselor in a school, what level was that? Was that
high school? High school, yes.
Oh, okay. So you're mm-hmm. very familiar with that age group.
Exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I want you to tell me a little bit about, you have a therapy dog named Bella Blue.
Sure
is that right?
Bella Blue, yes. Okay. So Bella Blue comes whenever we need her. She is mostly there when we do have the teenagers coming in. But she comes for even the children's groups and some of the families that are coming for supervised visits. She will come also if we feel that that would help. And we've learned a lot through Bella. She's probably our best teacher there and the best teacher for me. I watch her work the room. We can have 20 people in that room. She checks everybody out. She gets a little exhausted, but then she seems to hone in on the one person who seems to have just be a little down. And there goes Bella off to that person, puts her head on their legs, and that's where she remains for the rest of the evening.
Oh, so wonderful. It really is beautiful. Tell us about Bella. What kind of a dog is she?
I always forget. I am so terrible with that. But look on our website. She's there front and center. And we do have a special shirt made for her for this weekend, for Saturday night. So look for Bella. She will be there for all of us.
Okay. Tell me, before we get on to the event, that just in a second, you are open 7 days a week, correct?
Oh, we are. Yes, we are.
When are you busiest?
It is mainly, I would say, from after school time, so 3 o'clock until sometimes the teens don't want to go home. So we're there from 3 to 10, mainly. I am there throughout the day, in and out. Safe Harbor, the way to get in touch with Safe Harbor is through a cell phone, so I can be reached anytime and can be over there if somebody is not there.
Okay. Why don't we segue right into this event on Saturday? What is it called, Carol?
It is called Hold On to the Light.
Hold On to the Light, and tell us about the goal of the event.
Really is to bring awareness to mental illness and to help begin to break the stigma. We have a lot of folks who are really suffering in silence, and it has really become more and more of an issue in the community. I said we had a tragedy this December in the high school, and the students really didn't feel they had anywhere to talk or to express themselves. And this program really evolved through them. One of the things that was said was that when you're going through depression, you can see the light, but it's very difficult to hold on to it because every time you think things are going okay, they go into some kind of despair. So that's where the name Hold On to the Light came from. And it has evolved into this where it was going to be local musicians that I knew were going to perform. And at this point, we don't have any local musicians, and they were very respectful about this, but it turned into an all the teenagers are performing, some original songs as well as contemporary music that they are performing for 3.5 hours of the event. They will be singing.
I see. So you have some individual singers, some groups. Are there any formal groups from, you know, like a glee club from such and such a school, that kind of thing?
We do have the local group called TVP, which is the True Voice Project. Some of the students that are performing also are with the True Voice Project. So Adam, who is heading that organization, he's been helping us at the end, getting all the music together. They will be performing as a group. We have some students who will be performing with a cello, a viola, a violin, a keyboard, drums, a bass. And then I have adults, one who's a teacher who will be also playing the keyboard. But most everything will be through the students themselves and the TVP project.
Okay. Now, are there any other... Are there poetry readings or anything other than music? Or is
yes, we do have poetry readings. We have some speakers. As I mentioned earlier about the UROC Foundation, the founder of that organization will come and speak and will read something that he's written. We have some students who will read some original poetry and some passages from a book that they have that are inspirational kinds of quotes.
Carol, was this program pretty much designed by the children and with you kind of shaping and supervising, would you
Absolutely.
Say?
Absolutely. Without a doubt it was. They needed, you know, some adult supervision, adult signatures. This really came through funding through what Safe Harbor had, the community being very generous with supplying us with some financial support. But this really evolved through the students. What they wanted, I was very fortunate to be able to find the people that we could connect with. If you go drive through Main Street, you'll see the banner. It was the children's idea to do this, the teens. They even have their own logo for their group that I encourage them to create, which their group is called Strides Against Stigma, and so they have a lotus flower. So we have that banner hanging. They made flyers that I asked them to look for things that would be through the eyes of an adolescent going through some mental health situations. They have created their own flyers. They have decorated bags for giveaway bags, that 200 of them that they've decorated on their own. There is nothing that I asked or didn't ask for that these kids did not end up coming through and doing. They were just utterly amazing.
I noticed on your website you had something on the calendar about a planning meeting. So are they having little planning meetings once a week or
they
so?
They do. They've been coming. Usually they do come twice a week. Like I said, a lot of times on Friday they just need to, I think, have a safe place to come after school. And then they'll start singing. So we are now down to the crunch time. But I'd say almost really everything is ready to go. It's just to have the students feel comfortable with how the layout. We are going to have a program for the event. We're listing all our performers, but the students also know this could be a rather heavy situation for them. So they do know if they feel that it's too stressful to perform that night, somebody else will go on. So they would be listing all the performers, but not the songs or any order of performances. And then there's a lot of other things. We will have activities for children's activities. We've ordered inspirational temporary tattoos that people will be able to have put on. In honor of mental health awareness, the color green, we're going to spray paint some of the beauticians around the area. Different hair salons will come. Shirley Montrose, who's from Dolce Vita, I think, salon, she's going to come and help spray paint kids' hair. People from Zonda Spa will come. And then we have children's activities, coloring, and some creative activities for them to do as well.
Have you heard from students at any of the other high schools in Hunterdon or with the performers primarily be from Hunterdon Central?
Primarily it is from Hunterdon Central. I did have one person. I mean, North Hunterdon has reached out. It got a little late in the game, so mm-hmm. we will try to get something, especially next time with the middle school students as well. I did have somebody through social media who reached out from West Windsor who has a program for a foundation due to a young man who died by suicide in their community. So they've really been very supportive of the event, both financially and the sister of that young man will be performing at our event as well.
Okay. And who's going to be the MC? Will that be you or is there a student?
I think we've got the students.
Really?
They are ready to do this. They're stepping it up.
So you said something about maybe 200 people. Is that what you're
I'm
minimum?
Thinking what has happened now, we have probably at least 20 students who will probably be performing or participating in one way or another. So I'm thinking if all of their family members come, right there we will have well over 100 people, and then so many people that I know in the community who've really supported this event and outside the community will be there.
Do you know if any county officials are expected to speak?
I do know. I'm hoping some of our freeholders will. I've asked. The kids had wanted a proclamation, but we believe we're going to do a pledge instead. But I do know definitely quite a few of the council members will be attending.
All right. And let's get the time of the event and the location.
Sure. The time is from 6 to 10 p.m. in front of the historic courthouse on Saturday, May 19th. We will begin setting up at 5 o'clock, so music will be playing as soon as we're ready to set up. And we are ending probably the concert part, although songs will still continue. We are going to do a vigil in honor and in memory of those who have struggled with mental illness, who have lost the battle of their mental illness. So we'll end up in a candlelight vigil where everybody will have candles and be leaving, holding on to that light so they can keep the good feelings alive.
So it's really a mix of feelings in a way. It's not really a celebration, but it is bringing awareness. There will probably be a lot of sadness. But.
Right. So we are hoping that there will be some additional adults there to help with anybody who may be facing some additional feelings of sorrow during the night. We're trying to have it somewhat uplifting, though, of course, to hang on to the hope that we can all work together and to bring the community together to know that we do need the assistance and to break the stigma so people can speak openly about their health issues as they do about other health issues that they may have.
Do you think this is a very unusual event?
I do. I think I have been part of many nonprofits, part of other agencies that are not nonprofit, and I've never seen such a coming together of students from all walks of life, all different. Hunter and Central is a large high school, but they have found each other between the performers and then the back behind the scenes people. I also just got a call from the Interact Club that they would like to help out by setting up. So we have other students who want to be involved. And we don't plan on this being a one and done event. We have a beautiful porch where our center is. So I think Flemington will be, we'll be hearing from us a lot this summer. We'll be out there singing.
And I guess Flemington being the county seat, it is a good place to bring awareness to this kind of thing. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Good afternoon again. This is Tracy Ivy of Mental Health Matters, and we are speaking to Carol DeVore, the Director of Safe Harbor Access Centers here in Flemington, New Jersey. We have been talking about an event that's coming up this weekend, Hold On to the Light. Carol, welcome back.
Thank you.
Tell me something about the reaction. Have you heard much of a reaction from the parents of the students?
I have. Most have been very supportive. The students that have been coming, usually the group, somebody in the group drives, so they've been coming on their own. So I have to say I've not met a lot of the parents. One thing we have had are some students have let me know that their parents are not as supportive of the event because they are still feeling a little bit in denial that they're, and some of these are the students who are suffering from their own mental health issue or some depression, which is obviously a mental health issue. So some are really hoping that this will educate their parents, and they have written flyers through the perspective of a teen going through some of these things, which is, I thought, was really, really powerful, and to hope to educate parents, adults, parents of even younger students that are going through some trauma and some issues of their own. So It'll be interesting to see the night of the parents that come and how much support is given, but I do believe that they are grateful for their children to have a place to come and be safe.
You mentioned younger children. Do you expect any middle schoolers to be there? And how important is it for kids in that preteen age group to get mental health counseling?
Very, very important. I think middle school, the expectations for the children is becoming more and more. They're involved in so many different things. So I think it really is important that we educate sooner than later. And there is a push for schools. I know New Jersey is looking into it. New York, I believe, is already doing it to bring more mental health education into the curriculum. The students have told me they may talk about anorexia or something else that's more of a visible kind of illness. And the students are really reaching out saying we need to be educated more, and the school's a place to do that, to bring that awareness.
And that's part of that is what the stigma is about. They don't want to talk about things that aren't visible,
exactly.
But yet they're still going on.
They are, absolutely, yeah.
Do you think that the celebrities speaking out has been a help to help stamp out this big stigma?
I do, because I think it shows, wow, here's this person who should have everything. They've got money, they've got beauty, they've got fame, and yet there's still something very troubling in their life. And so I think that has helped, and it's made people just a little more aware, and also to say it isn't about your social status. It's very complex.
And Carol, since you've been involved with the field for 20, 30 or so years, go back to when you first started helping teenagers in high school versus how you're dealing with a lot of the same issues. What kinds of changes have you seen?
First of all, when I graduated high school in 74, I didn't teach until the early 80s. And one of my first teaching jobs was in a class that was a self-contained class for emotionally disturbed adolescents, which we don't even call it that anymore. We don't have those self-contained classes or very rarely in a high school. I think we were so separate. Everybody was separate, and that has changed. We really have tried to blend everything together, and which is much, much better, but it's also causing some other issues for those who maybe do need a little place by themselves. We've been talking about having what we're calling like a tranquility room in the high school where they can just go and have a few minutes of just quiet time and not be part of the whole, everything's rush, rush, rush. You know, their day is filled with a lot of things. And so that's where I think the biggest change is, of just seeing that we're not pigeonholing students so much anymore, but we still are keeping our head in the sand about some of the issues that need to be addressed.
So do any of the schools have a tranquility room yet that you know of?
Around here, I do not know of any that do. I've done some research because I do a lot of research on the ACEs study, which is Adverse Childhood Experiences, and have done a lot to see what that should look like and how it does help. And it wouldn't even be necessarily for students who have mental illness. It could be the football player who could be suffering from mental illness, but the football player who's just feeling really stressed before a big game can go in there and have a place where it's just a safe, quiet place to just be able to get it all together again.
It sounds like a great idea. Tell me some more about the thoughts that the kids had in this brochure that they wrote.
A lot about it was what should you or should not say to your children when they come to you. Very often it's like, you'll get over it. It's just a phase. And they're trying to say, it's not just a phase. Please listen to me. It's deeper than that. I need some help. So they've really done that. And they're also doing information regarding different communities, different cultural communities, and how they face and deal with mental illness or not deal with it, and also the LGBTQ community as well, that we all have different issues within each of these communities. So they're addressing all those as well, again, from a young person's standpoint.
Carol, you mentioned that when you first started as a guidance counselor, they had children who were emotionally disturbed, quote unquote,
right,
were considered, they were part of special ed.
But correct.
So that might be someone who's dealing with a mental illness, whereas nowadays they're not considered.
No.
So I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing.
I think then, at that time, it wasn't really addressing a mental illness. It was always a behavior issue.
Acting out.
Right.
That kind of
thing. I don't know that they were ever really given a true diagnosis, other than that they were disruptive students in the classroom, so let's isolate them.
Right. But obviously, students who are having mental health issues may not be disruptive at all.
Exactly. Exactly. Very often, they're very quiet. They're so stuck in their own head that they are quiet, but it may come out that they're not doing well on a test or doing their homework, and it's, you know, they're told, you know, you're going to go down in your grade because you haven't done your homework, when it may just be a time where it's just too difficult for them to process the information, and they just need a little break from it.
There's just a lot of pressure on kids.
Without a doubt. So much.
I don't know if there's more now than there was 30 years ago. There's always going to be pressure.
Right, right.
But that's part of what you're trying to do.
It is. Just acknowledge that yes, it is due to pressure. How do we cope with that? We need other means to cope. And to really see people for where they are. And most of the students that have been coming to me are extremely bright, bright students. And to me, as a teacher, I always think, they couldn't do their homework one night? Like, really? Is that ultimately the most important aspect of school, is the homework? I understand the importance, but if we could just again try to meet these teens and youngsters of where they're at.
Okay, Carol, tell me a little bit about why you got involved with this whole field.
Interesting. I was one of the first people to graduate. I was the first student to graduate Hunter Central early in 1974. I was out in January, and I always wanted to be a special ed teacher, and I don't know why. I didn't have special ed anybody that I knew who'd been in special classes, but I was always for people who I saw there was a struggle going on. And then, so even when I graduated college, even, I didn't teach right away. I did some other things and then got into teaching. Got married, had my daughter, and I don't like to put labels on, but I experienced domestic abuse myself. And it was very, very difficult to send my daughter at 4 years old to her dad, to a place that I didn't know where she was going. She didn't feel comfortable. And not to say that her dad was mean to her or anything else, but it was just, we never looked forward to the weekend. And I thought, there has to be something better. And after much work in the field, and then being a legal advocate, and I saw again, we're putting these children through this trauma, there should be something else. And that's when I decided, and I actually had the assistance of Judge Diltz, who's retired from the bench, and he was a judge here in Hunterdon County in Somerset, and he helped me find this organization that already existed, and that's when I got involved and thought, this is really something we need so desperately. So it was through some of my own experience, watching my daughter struggle, and then seeing some of the struggles of the children today.
So you can really identify with everything that's going on firsthand.
You're not a passive
observer in any
right.
way.
And I think it's been, I've had enough time to heal and process my own journey that it, although it certainly, I think we all who've experienced some of these things, I do believe we suffer from a PTSD form, that certain things will trigger it, but I think I'm removed enough from it and have healed enough and taken this journey. It's been a 30-year journey, so it's evolved, and I think absolutely that I can feel for both parent sides and the children as well.
So would you say that you love what you do?
I do. I could never, it's just, I feel that at this point in my life, when I could be retired, I've kind of put all that I've been through, all my learning through school, without school, my own desire to learn, people I've met along the way, put it all together and have formed literally a safe harbor for people to come when they just need that place.
Great. So in our last couple of minutes here, let's get back to the event. We're going to give the location, time. Carol, you mentioned that there might be some road closures. Let's talk about that.
So because we believe there's going to be so many more people coming than we first anticipated, the road on Main Street will be closed from Bloomfield Avenue to Mine Street. I'd suggest you bring some chairs if you'd like to sit. We will have some, but don't know that we'll have enough. Please keep all your positive energies that we have sunshine, because we certainly don't want rain. There will be lots of activities. We are not selling food. Costco will be there with water and some kind of snack. Bring certainly some money. There will be T-shirts for sale for the occasion, luminaries, the rest, all the other activities are free. And just really come with an open mind to listen to these children, these young adults speak, because it is extremely powerful. And it starts at 6 o'clock Saturday night at 6 to 10 o'clock p.m. right in front of the historic courthouse. And that's...
What should people do if they are talking about rain all week?
I know.
Where would they go mid-afternoon or so if, you know...
Sadly, I hate to say it, we do not have a backup plan.
Okay.
So
right.
I'm hoping
there's
if
no
anything
rain date.
That we use, yeah, right, no rain date. So we do hope that if worse comes to worse, we get some umbrellas to put up at the tables, you know, around if we need. Everything will be under the portico at the courthouse, so at least our performers will be dry. And bring your umbrellas. But I am going to think positive that it's going to be a beautiful, sunny day, and we are just going to bring attention and break that stigma of mental illness and bring this community together.
Great. So let's talk about how people can find out more about your organization and about the event. Now, for Safe Harbors, what is your website?
Our website is www.gosafeharbor.org. Our Facebook page is Safe Harbor Child Access Centers. And just to give a little plug, another plug for our high school, our webpage was designed by one of our Polytech students who did a work-study program with me, Jackson Ruth, and he has done a remarkable job. So if you go on, you will see his incredible work. The logo for this event was done by Kristen Cook, who is a graphic designer for Flemington, the Community Partnership for Flemington. So we've had a lot of support from them. And let's see what else. And our phone number is 908-268-4284. Safe Harbor, it is a cell phone, so you can reach me any time of day or night. If I don't answer, I get back to people within several hours, so you can always reach me. I'm the only one who does answer that phone, so you'll always speak directly with me.
All right. I want to repeat all three of those contact numbers and website addresses in case we went by too quickly. Let's go with the website is gosafeharbor.org.
Correct.
Carol, give me the Facebook contact info.
It is Safe Harbor Child Access Centers.
Okay. Safe Harbor Child Access Centers.
Correct.
Plural. Okay. And the cell phone number is 908-268-4284. That's a 24/7 number.
Correct. Yes.
908-268-4284. Carol, in our last 2 minutes or so, tell me what you would like to add to what we've already talked about, the importance of this event and keeping children safe.
This cannot be a one-time conversation. It has to be ongoing. And I, not to be negative, but too many things we start in our community and everywhere, we begin with excitement and it just kind of fizzles out. I have vowed to these teens that we will continue spreading the word. We will continue having events, most likely not to this magnitude, but we will continue to be together and continue to make this a real, to put it in the highlight of what this community stands for and bring us together. I've grown up out here. It was a wonderful, wonderful community with a lot of people who cared and came together. And that's what I'm hoping we can do through this and make this a real pledge to be sensitive, be kind, and remember that people are suffering in ways we may never have any idea about.
And we can make a difference.
We sure can.
Great. Thank you very much, Carol. It's really been a pleasure having
you
here and hearing about the tremendous work that you're doing to help children. I hope you will come back again and wish you all the luck on Saturday. I'm going to try to get there myself.
Thank you.
And good afternoon. Goodbye, folks. You've been listening to Mental Health Matters, and we'll see you next Monday at 2 p.m.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
USA Radio News.
President Donald Trump fulfilled a campaign promise by moving the American embassy to Jerusalem. This was the message that you heard repeated by all the speakers at the inauguration ceremony today for the new U.S. embassy in the Israeli capital. Late last week, a White House aide made a joke that Senator John McCain, who is fighting brain cancer, is, quote, dying anyways. Now, this kicked up a firestorm on Twitter and social media and a lot of the networks. It still hasn't gone away. Well, the White House and the daily White House press briefing had a chance to address this today for the first time. And Raj Shah, the White House deputy press secretary, addressed the issue and said how it was handled internally.
Well, I understand the focus on this issue, but it's going to be dealt with and has been dealt with internally. I was told, Kelly Sadler called the McCain family late last week and did apologize.
Sadler made the comments during an internal meeting, which was then leaked to the media. This is USA Radio News.
Okay, so the big question for any decision you're going to make, is this actually going to work? Well, if you've heard about MediShare, which is a brilliant way of sharing health care costs, you may have wondered that. Does it work? Well, so did Dr. Stuart Hoover, who initially joined to save a lot of money. The typical family saves about $500 a month. Stuart saved even more.
When we first joined MediShare, we were immediately going from a little over $1,600 a month down to $460 basically a month.
So that's wonderful. But then his wife needed emergency surgery and the bills added up to $160,000.
So we were seeing the bills coming in and then the bills were being paid. Portions were being shared, and the end result of this is this bill was taken care of.
Yes, MediShare works, and it's so easy to get your questions answered too, so why not? You can call right now, 833-39-BIBLE. That's 833-39-BIBLE, 833-39-BIBLE.
A new study shows that newer vehicles are safer than older model year cars and trucks. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has more.
The National Highway Transportation Safety Administration recently releasing the statistics that highlight the added safety of new vehicles as compared with older cars and trucks. They found that in traffic crashes from 2012 to 2016, a higher percentage of passengers in the older vehicles suffered fatal injuries. The proportion of passengers fatally injured increased with the age of the vehicle, from 55% for model years prior to 1984 to 26% for vehicles built between 2013 and 2017. Also, the severity of the injury increased with increasing vehicle age, while the injury severity of passengers in newer vehicles was lower. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Quick look at your numbers on Wall Street today. Currently, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up over 50 points. This is USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
A bill introduced in California by an assemblyman would designate the third Monday in February as a single school holiday to be known as President's Day. The bill would get rid of either George Washington or Abraham Lincoln's birthday as a holiday and designate May 1st as International Workers' Day. Well, not everyone in California is for this, including California Assemblyman Matthew Harper. Now, he's a Republican. He explained why he believes this whole idea is ridiculous.
Well, the thing I think that's ridiculous about this is it establishes May Day, which I've always known as International Socialist Workers' Day,
right,
as a holiday for schools. I don't understand letting kids out and letting teachers out, replacing a school day with getting them out to a May Day rally.
He was then asked where this bill actually sits in the California legislature.
It actually was a party line vote in both the Education Committee as well as the Appropriations Committee. When it got to the floor, however, both myself and Assemblymember Melissa Melendez spoke against this and its ridiculousness. And I think under the scrutiny, this thing ended up not passing on the floor of the Assembly. But, of course, the author asked for reconsideration,
sure,
which allows this to come for a future vote.
That audio courtesy of Fox News. And finally, back on this date in 1897, Stars and Stripes Forever by John Philip Sousa was performed for the first time in Philadelphia. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Managing money for the Wall Street elite and raising hundreds of millions for their companies. In 2003, I created the VRA, my investment and economic newsletter that's been crushing the market for 14 years. We're not a brokerage firm. I tell you what stocks to buy using my proprietary VRA investing system, and then I tell you exactly when to sell and take profits. My system tracks the smart money using a combination of fundamental and technical analysis and only target stocks that have the ability to rise by 50% or more. For the first time, we're offering a free two-week membership to the VRA. You get my daily market commentary and special reports, including my number one recommendation, which is already up 300% this year. To receive your two free